And there you can see, I read it to you, I have come, Jesus says, that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So you've got to go away with that middle bit, so a bit of help needed here. Could you do the first line, please? North aisle, I am the good shepherd. Middle aisle, I know my sheep. South aisle, and my sheep know me. Off you go, north aisle. Pathetic. Try again. North aisle. Middle aisle. South aisle wins. We'll do it one more time. Very good. So you can take that away with you. Now, I'm going to go through in a moment how Jesus got to this. And it's obviously from a psalm in the Old Testament, Psalm 23. You know it, the Lord's my shepherd. And we're going to hear that in a moment. But you'd like to see the next screen. As I was preparing this, I've learned a new word. And this word is going to be crucial to your understanding about the Good Shepherd. And it is about, are you being hefted? And don't worry, it's not that painful, but are you being hefted? Do you know what it is to be hefted? And it's a word that I've discovered comes from sheep farming and so on. But we'll hear more about that in a moment. But that's a key question for you and for these children here, for these three children who are being baptized today, Hannah, Samuel, James. Are they being hefted? It's a crucial question for their lives now and through their lives to come. So let's hear the reading. And we have a wonderful granddaughter and grandfather pair to read this. It's going to be "The Lord is my shepherd," and we'll try and take it slowly so you can enjoy these drawings that go with the reading. And yeah, if you can get close to the microphone, that will be great.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Our next screen, please. That's it.
Now I lack nothing.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside quiet waters.
He refreshes my soul.
He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil.
For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you very much, Peter. Milana, thank you. We will just see the next screen, because this is a summary then of what we just heard, is it not? This is what Jesus is picking up from Psalm 23. The good shepherd, about knowing the sheep, giving them what they need, safe path, always with them, protects them from harm, nurtures them to be hefted. And I'll come to that one in a moment again. But what is this saying? What is Jesus saying? He knows the sheep through, and he loves them. You are loved. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you'll have lots of things that are worrying you about school and work and so on. But don't try and leave those aside, and just know that you are loved. You are absolutely precious. You know these children are precious, but they are precious to you and to God. And that is a message that everyone needs to hear, that you are loved, you're accepted, you're just held by God, you're loved. But I think most of all for children now, isn't it? It seems every few weeks now we're hearing another report about unhappiness of children in this country. And why? We hear about things about self-image and about self-harming. There's the whole exam factory that the education system seems to produce. But all that going on, and surely the children just need to know that they are loved and they are absolutely precious. And as much as parents can do that, and we hope you do, of course you will, but nonetheless, to know in yourself that you're loved. You are accepted. Doesn't matter about what you look like or what you achieve, you are loved. And that is what Jesus says, as a shepherd knows the sheep, you are loved through and through. And then this second bunch of headings here, it can sound quite superficial, can't it? That he will give you what you need. He will guide you on a safe path. He's always with them and protects them from harm. That can lead to a very superficial faith if you just take it like that. Because then bad things happen, and they do. We did a whole series on the book of Job here a few weeks ago. Bad things happen to people who love God. So what is it saying? It is saying this, that whatever happens to you, whatever is going on, God's loving presence is always there, whatever is going on. And I do believe that children and all of us actually need to know that through our lives, that we need to know that whatever is going on, God in his love is there for us. He is working in all circumstances with us. Romans chapter 8, there's brilliant verses there. Read the whole chapter when you go home. But God, it says, is working for good in all situations. Nothing can separate us from his love in Jesus Christ. And then bad things can happen, but what actually is being fed is the soul, our whole being inside. And what you experience is love, forgiveness, joy, hope, peace that passes all understanding. And those words there are actually words that not just I say, but research says are crucial for the good life. I quoted here a week or two ago a study of Harvard students from 1939. And they've been studied all the way through to their 90s now. And what do you think? How do they fare best? Is it the ones who earn the most money? The ones who achieve the most? No, none of that. It's not even relationships. The one who fared the best are those who have developed those qualities inside of love, forgiveness, joy, hope, peace. And these are the things that Christ as the Good Shepherd promises to each person as you walk on this life with him, knowing him through this life. And then the promise that we will be guided through this life. Again, we can all make mistakes, but we will be guided into what is wisdom and know what is the way through this life. And so Jesus says he gives life to the full in this life, but also the promise of life beyond death. It is not the end. There is more mystery than we will ever know, but there is more life beyond this one than we experience now. And then this word, then this last word on here, nurtures them to be hefted. That is what the Good Shepherd does to people who know and love him. And to help understand this, if you just see the next screen, there's this beautiful book by James Rebanks, A Shepherd's Life. It's a beautiful book, and I'm just going to show you a video clip that comes from it that just helps you to understand about being hefted by the shepherd.
A shepherd is nothing without his sheepdogs, and I'm really lucky. I've got two good sheepdogs, Floss and Tan, two special dogs, really good. And my work's only possible because of them. They enable me to gather the fells, or even in byland, the fields. You can't gather fields like we have without them. It would take dozens and dozens of people, and you'd still lose. But with one or two good dogs, you can do shepherding work. And this, the way that we farm, is what some people call dog and stick farming. Very traditional, old-fashioned way of farming. The rest of the world has sort of changed around us, and because the fells are so, historically, were quite isolated and quite poor, and because there are no other options if you want to farm here than to farm sheep with a dog and a stick, a really old-fashioned kind of farming survived, and I wanted to write a book and tell everybody about it and why I love it and why it's beautiful and special and historically significant, and to try and share that with other people so that other people can see it better than they have done before. We're a family farm, so there's my father and my mother and my wife Helen and my children. And my first memories are following my grandfather around the farm and loving every moment of it, thinking he was free and he was independent and he was proud and he loved what he did. And he looked like he belonged in his place in the world. And I remember thinking, I just want to be just like you. My sheep that I take back to the fells have been looked after by many, many different shepherds over hundreds, maybe even thousands of years. But they're an unbroken chain back into a period 1,000 years, 2,000 years, maybe 3 or 4 or 5,000 years ago. And to do something that old, that timeless, is amazing. And my hope very much is that I, in however big or small a way, that I can help people to see that and understand it, because I think many people don't know that's happening around them or that it's still survived. And my book is an attempt to share that world and explain it and to explain why we the people are hefted as much as the sheep are hefted, that there's a really deep sense of rootedness and belonging, and it makes for a certain kind of people that are shaped by the landscape, and they shape it in turn, and that we're proud of what we are, proud of where we came from, proud of what we are now, and proud of what we're trying to do, which is to try and keep it going in the future.
We can just see the next slide then. So that word that James Rebanks referred to, heft, it was on the screen next. We'll just pause a moment, just take that in. That's it, great, thank you. To heft, to become accustomed and attached to an area of pasture, hefted livestock that has become thus attached. And the suggestion is, and he talked about an unbroken chain, didn't he? Over hundreds, even thousands of years. That is what you as sheep, as Christians, are to be hefted to, God's kingdom. The unbroken chain that goes back to Jesus 2,000 years ago, that's meant there's been worship here for decades, hundreds of years here in Westcott. But you are part of that, to be hefted into God's kingdom, to follow him and to know him, and to know and to live well then in the kingdom of God, knowing the Jesus as the good shepherd. And so the summary, as we just see on the last screen here, we've seen this then, that he knows you through and through and loves you, that he is with you whatever is going on, and for these children too through their lifetimes. And then he will nurture you as you seek him in prayer, in worship. He will nurture you to be hefted, to live well in this place, to thrive in the place that God has put you. So we just need to go away with the memory verse. So it's on the top of your screen there, but you'll probably say it without the screen. So North Isle, the first line, please.
I am a good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me.
Amen. And I pray this will be the case for these children, and all of you will know Jesus as the good shepherd. Amen. And we're going to sing of this now on the screen again. The Lord's my shepherd, I will not want.